You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
In a way, need a change from this burnout scene. Another time, another town, another everything. But it's always back to you. Stumble out in the night from the pouring rain. Leave the block, sad thought, there's more I need.
We continue on a Monday. Joining me from Texas, eating grapes that he says are delicious, is Mike Musselman. Gunner, how you doing?
Yeah, I am good. I just had cold grapes out of the refrigerator. Green grapes, size of golf balls, man. I don't know where my wife found it, but geez.
She go to the farmer's market in Granbury?
No, H-E-B. Has some of the best produce, man. I'll tell you.
What is that? What is ATB?
H. Hotel Echo Bravo.
Hotel Echo Bravo.
Yeah, ATB grocery stores.
Oh, it's a grocery store in Texas.
Yeah.
All right, tell me about you. So I finished watching the 9/11 thing.
Yeah. And there was that part you got really mad, huh?
I thought about you, too.
Yeah. I was thinking about that when I told you. I was like, man, he's going to be pissed when he watches this part.
Okay, I was talking to Nielsen about it. So Mike tells me about Rumsfeld, right? And so there's this discussion post 9/11. And here's what I found interesting. It's not often that you have a former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff that agrees
yeah.
to come onto a program, and he essentially talks shit about Rumsfeld. And they talk about what they're going to do in the aftermath of 9/11, and Rumsfeld says, we need to go get Iraq. And he says,
yeah.
Everybody turns and says,
What
did you say? It sounds like. And so when you watch the program, they lay out all this, the history of Osama bin Laden, yada, yada, yada. And nowhere in it is Iraq. Right, Mike?
Yeah, not even one of the operatives are from Iraq. They're either from Saudi Arabia. I mean, they're
Yemen.
Pakistan. I mean, yeah, nowhere is Iraq mentioned, Saddam Hussein mentioned, anything. And all of a sudden, you get to this part where Rumsfeld goes, "What? They hit the building? All right, let's go after Iraq." What?
I kid you not. It's crazy. The only time Iraq is mentioned is after they invade Kuwait, and bin Laden has been successful in Afghanistan, and he flies to Saudi Arabia and says, "Hey, you don't need to have the Americans and the British come over here. I will rid Saudi Arabia. Me and my 2,000 guys, we will rid you of." The Mujahideen will rid you of Iraq, of the Iraqis, and we'll get them out. And King Abdullah says, "Hey, thanks for the offer, bro, but I think I'm going with this one."
Yeah.
And that's the only time you hear Iraq get mentioned is in conjunction with the Operation Desert Storm and those events, and then ultimately the United States not leaving, which is what really sent Osama bin Laden through the overhead and angered him with the Saudi royal family and also with the United States. That's the only context that you hear. So he hates them, and he has nothing to do with them. And so, I thought of you Sunday morning when I was watching. And just a memo to everybody, you have until the A&E Network owns that. You have until October 11th to watch that. You have October 11th to watch that on the History Channel. And then it goes away, or I don't know, you'll have to pay to watch it or something like that. So where are you? I would go and download it. You can download it on DirecTV on demand and then watch it.
Pretty interesting, though, huh?
Yeah, pretty disturbing, honestly. You know, and some of it, you know, I can see in terms of collateral damage and some of it, but it's just depressing. And I'll tell you what, the harshest criticism in the whole thing is from the FBI to the CIA. The hijackers come in different groups. There's one group, the group of pilots comes over, and they're obviously going to be flying the aircraft. And then there's the security guys that are going to take the aircraft over. They come over in different groups. Two of them, the CIA finds out about, are at a meeting in Malaysia, and they come through Los Angeles and they go to San Diego. The CIA knows about it. The FBI guys working with the CIA want to release that information to the FBI, and the CIA won't do it. And at the end of it, the FBI guys just rip the shit out of the CIA, talking about their little James Bond fantasy. It doesn't mean that we would have stopped all of it, but picking up those guys would have told them that we were on to it. Maybe they postpone it. Maybe they recock it. Maybe they do whatever. But that's the harshest criticism of the whole thing.
At the very least, if they would have released that information to the FBI, and the FBI would have rolled them up because they were right in the open.
Right.
Rolled them up, brought them in. You're right. Things would have been put on hold because we don't know what information we would have got out of these guys.
Right. And who knows, right? Because Mike knows, when you yoke those guys up and you start going through their computer and their cell phone, those things start singing like canaries. Evidently, we are rolling up so much of the Islamic State because of what got found in Mosul. It's ridiculous that you know, all the different electronic devices, you know, and Mike, explain to everybody what sensitive site exploitation is.
After you secure an objective, you're looking for papers, you're looking for electronic documents, hard drives, thumb drives, computers, tablets, cell phones, and all of that stuff gets collected. It's tagged, and then it's given over to like a forensic electronic division that basically doesn't care. There is no such thing as secure passwords. They'll get in anything. Even if they erased it off the hard drive, it's still there. They'll pull it all up. All your deleted emails, all your deleted cookies, all everything. If you looked at it on a computer and you're like, oh, it's deleted. No, they can get it off. They'll get it off. Everything is there. The internet never goes away.
And then when you bump into that, all of a sudden you're going to be active as you these numbers – right, they trace them, they find them, you go hit those, and it's just one after the next after the next.
Yeah.
So when you hit these things, they're like treasure troves, and it goes into hyperspace because you know these guys are going to start ditching their stuff and moving and whatnot. So it's pretty – it would be the pursuit phase of one of these hits, and they just go nonstop for day after day after day. Pretty amazing.
And once they get one, one makes two, two makes four, makes eight, 16, 32, you know, it just keeps compounding.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And so that's what, so if you do get that one guy, you know, I mean, you don't know what you're going to get. And so that's what these guys live with is that, but I will say this, one of the things that's hard after 9/11 is to look at it, through a pre 9/11, lens. And, you know, you hear the CIA people who've been working on this since, what, the 96, 95, something like that. And they say the system is flashing red, something big, and they're getting all these little data bits from all over the world about something huge is going to happen in the United States. And they know it. They just don't know what it is. And the other interesting thing is when the national security team for the Clinton administration briefs Condoleezza Rice, briefs Donald Rumsfeld, I don't know who NSA was then, but they look at him like, why do you have this huge counterterrorism thing? Like, what's this all about? Like,
right.
And they start explaining Al-Qaeda is, it's like, most of them never heard of Al-Qaeda.
Right.
And they're like, looked at him like, you guys crazy? You know, what is, you know, what is with all this? And that was a level of stupidity. Again, the people on the inside knew, but it's like nobody else knew. Nobody else knew. And so sometimes I would catch myself thinking, and I think, oh yeah, but the event hasn't happened yet. And so, so a lot of people are stupid. And then to ask them to take extraordinary steps. And I thought Mike pretty revealing when one of them said, the CIA guy said, you had 9 chances to get him and they never chose one of them. Why? And he just shrugged his shoulders and said, they're politicians. And you're just like, oh my God. So, no, but I would tell you, by all means, watch it. You'll become so smart about just all the different events surrounding that event. And so you can talk smart about it. Did you watch the thing on Vietnam last night?
No, I did not. I was watching football.
Why? Your team got their asses kicked.
I know they did.
You,
oh my God,
you are the, you're the kiss of death. I thought about that. I said, the Cowboys have just become the Vikings. This is going to be awesome.
Oh, my God.
All we need is some of the receivers to drop their own play. That's right.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the Broncos were firing on all cylinders, man. They were.
Don't sell me that. All right, what about the Cowboys, man? What about the Cowboys?
They just couldn't get together, man. I mean, their defense was porous. You'd see them come through every gap and every Ezekiel Elliott, you know, was like 7 carries for 1 yard. You know, it was like, oh, my God. Dak Prescott's throws were off. I mean, everything was just, you know, it was just horrible, man. Even Jason Witten was screwing up, you know?
Witten, he doesn't screw up, come on.
I know, but, you know, and Beasley made a couple stupid thing, errors, Dez Bryant, you know, I mean, just, oh, it was painful to watch, man. I mean, the wife was, like, looking at me the whole time, like,
Exactly. But let me tell you, you should watch the Vietnam thing. It's well done.
What channel was it on?
It's PBS. PBS. And it's on again tonight. So very, very cool. Very cool. Bob, I had Nielsen on, and he said, like, all day he was going back and forth. Because you can imagine Vietnam guys. What is this, one other fuck job that's going to be done on us again? And he said, I was going back and forth. I wanted to watch it. My wife said she wouldn't watch it. And he said, so I sat down in my TV room and watched it by myself. He said, he gave it an A-.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, and it goes into, so far, I mean, just the history of Vietnam, right? Ho Chi Minh, who we all know, I mean, when after the Japanese are kicked out of Vietnam after World War II, he gives an address to the nation, and he reads like the Declaration of Independence. He's not a communist yet, and he loves the United States. He loves the United States. He reads it, and you're like, "How did we fuck this one up, man? Holy shit!"
Yeah, so did it go all the way back to, like, you know, the French occupation?
Yeah, before that. They go back probably about 100 years to the relationship between the Vietnamese and the and then the French came as colonizers and what they did, and the Vietnamese hatred of it, and then the Japanese come during World War II, and then, you know, they don't want Ho Chi Minh. You know, he meets Woodrow Wilson in Paris in 1917, and he talks about, you know, getting help with the French, and, you know, and blah blah blah. So it's really interesting. And Burns does a great job. I was very curious about, you know, Bob's perspective and the anxiety of Vietnam veterans of somebody else is going to tell our story. Are they going to tell it well? And so he gave it high marks. And then it takes you up to after World War II, when nobody will help them. The United States kind of says, and then China says, hey, we'll help you. And Russia says, we'll recognize you and help you. And then Ho Chi Minh says, yeah, I'll be a communist. They'll help me. And they'll train us, they'll give us weapons, and we'll be able to rule ourselves. And you see, like, oh man, we did really, but anyway, no, I thought it was very well done. So it's kind of going to be interesting to listen to Vietnam guys talk about their how their war is portrayed. But Marlanis was in it. Carl Marlanis was in it, so
right.
So no.
I'll watch them.
Yeah, no. I think you'd enjoy it because the question is, Vietnam's such a big subject. How do you limit it in such a way as to be able to treat it well within the amount of time you get? So it'll be Burns' challenge to do that well. So anyway, be interesting. All right, I need to take a break. Gunner's with us.
Okay.
Got a couple emails. One about, how about them Cowboys? As the NFL kiss of death keeps going.
Yeah, that doesn't count. Don't greet Rob Schwartz.
Cowboys are done. Cursed by the Gunner. Des Bryant's going to drop his own plays. Hey, Des Bryant pretty much already on his own program, so the Gunner can't get played. In all fairness to the Gunner, and I don't really care about being fair to the Gunner very often, but in all fairness to him, Des Bryant already pretty much on his own program. We won't blame him for that. Everything else, he'll be responsible for. More of Amring Radio on a Monday coming up next.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug. home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts with 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. It's called I Should Have Been a Cowboy. Toby Keith.
I bet you never heard old Marshall Dillon say, Miss Kitty, have you ever thought of running away? Settle down, would you marry me if I asked you twice?
Yeah, Toby Keith. I crushed that. I've got it.
Don't drink in the morning, Mac.
Oh, hold on. Here's the best part. This is dedicated to the gunner. This is dedicated to Mike Musselman.
I should have been a cowboy.
Rolling around with his big cowboy hat.
Wearing my six-shooter, riding my pony on a cattle drive.
Gunner playing cowboy in Texas. Gonna have the whole state pissed at him. Like, who's the guy? That's Musselman? He screwed the football team up? That's right. He's from Minnesota. We hate those guys. Actually, the cowboy people love Minnesota. It's the Minnesotans who hate the Cowboys. They stole their franchise for about 10 years. All right, I'm going to give you, you can pick the story that we're going to talk about, okay? You can choose from four of them. Marine Silver Star upgraded to Navy Cross. He's from 2-4, and it happened in Irving, Texas. They did the ceremony there. Official amphibious vehicle hit gas line, sparking fire. Next one, the Army's new handgun is undergoing final testing before it's issued to soldiers. And then the next one is no charges for Army Battalion Commander fired amid investigation into whether he sexually assaulted the unit sexual assault response coordinator.
Which one would you like to start with?
Neither.
None of them?
None of the above.
Okay, then I'll pick. First one is retired Marine Staff Sergeant Eric Smith received a Navy Cross after his Silver Star was upgraded to the U.S. military's second highest valor award. Smith was initially awarded the Silver Star for actions in Ramadi on April 6, 2004. Were you there that day?
No. No.
No, 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 no. Were you in Iraq in April
2004? No.
You got there in May, June?
I got there in September.
Okay. All right. Anyway, this is the day that I was with 2-4 that night, the night before. Paul Kennedy, who I served with at the basic school, and is a buddy of mine, calls me and says, hey, why don't you come over and AI with me? My weapons platoon commander, a guy named Rob Weiler, who's now, I think, a colonel now, he's a little heavy-handed, and he's going to do his first raid tonight if you want to hang out. What he really wanted me for, though, was that he was going to go down and meet with the chief of staff, the chief of the Ramadi Police Department, and he wanted me as like a prop to tell the chief of police that he had brought somebody from General Mattis's staff. And then he asked me like some questions in front of the police chief. And of course I said yes to everything he asked me. And so then we went out and we watched it. The following morning, Colonel Dunford told me, he said, hey, you can be gone for about 24 hours and you got to get back here. I said, yes, sir. And so the OPSO of 2-4, a guy named Dave Harrell, who you've heard on this program before, major type, he was headed for Camp Ramadi from Hurricane Point. And I said, hey, man, can I hop in with you? That way nobody's inconvenient. You just drop me off. And he said, yep. So he drops me off. As he drops me off is when they get the first reports of heavy fighting in Ramadi, and 2-4 would fight for the next 2 weeks in Ramadi. And they killed a lot of people. But anyway, he's in one of the trucks. He's a squad leader. As Smith tells it, all hell breaks loose. We took fire from every angle. They were in essentially a baited ambush. The event started downtown. The QRF had taken the same route on a number of occasions, and the streets were narrow, and they were just jam-packed with heavy machine guns. Anyway, I remember a group of insurgents about 50 feet away shooting heavy machine guns. It became full-scale combat. I'm honored and humbled to receive the upgraded Navy Award of the Navy Cross, Smith said on Thursday. I understand that this places me in a category of Marines that I would have never imagined to be part of. I firmly believe that I was an ordinary Marine placed in an extraordinary situation and simply did my job. Paul Kennedy was down there, Major General, who was a battalion commander that day, as were a bunch of guys from 2-4, which is the home of Magnificent Bastards. But that's part of the upgrade review process that started a few years ago. Were you at the division when that was going on, Mike?
I think so, yeah.
So, anyway, he's now a paramedic. In the Dallas area.
Yep.
So that. How about let's talk about the Army's new handgun undergoing final testing, the Sig Sauer P320.
Yeah.
Are you a fan?
No. You know, and here's how you know the Army's program is full of shit, man. Because they said they would. Through a selection process, found the 320, which they deemed the M17, and that's the new pistol. And they went through this rigorous process to make sure that was our gun. Well, one of their testing flaws then was they didn't do the drop safety for it. You know, have a fully loaded pistol and then drop it on the ground. Because had they done that, they would have noticed that the gun fires. Oops.
Come on.
Yeah, that's why the Dallas PD dropped the gun. You know, so it doesn't have, like the old SIGs, it doesn't have a hammer. It's not a hammer fire. It's a striker fire, so it's an internal firing piston or firing pin. And when they lied to Dallas PD, and Dallas PD dropped the gun, and now they're in, you know, mode of trying to fix this thing, Because if you load the gun with a rounding chamber and you drop it on the ground, it has the potential to go off. Well, that's a problem. And, you know, you'd think that in the military testing, that would be covered in some kind of test. I know ours were. And, but yeah, now I'd like to see the tap dance that someone in the Army is doing over this one. Like, hey, why didn't you guys not whoa. Slow down there, Turbo. Let's take this one step at a time. Now, your question is, why didn't we test that? Boy, where'd the time go? You know? So, yeah. I mean, this is hilarious, man. I knew this was going to... Because most of the stuff that they do is just like the M855A1, you know, the new green tip bullet to replace it. That was a bullshit test. And, you know, they had already invested $12 million into it. They couldn't come back to Congress and say, you know, there's this thing about the bullet that it's not a big deal, but we lied, you know, no biggie. We're just going to go with the new round. We're going to go with what the Marine Corps is going to go with. No, no one's going to say something like that. It's career suicide, man. So, yeah, now they're stuck with the SIG P320. And, oh, man, like I said, I would love to be a fly on the wall in these discussions. You know?
Mike, honestly, I mean, it's extremely hard to believe that something like that actually happens. That hold on, let me see if they allude to any of, let's see, the 6-hour civilian version of the Army recently adopted XM-17 handgun recently was in the news after claims that it fired when dropped. 6 Hours officials dispute the claims and have said that the weapon meets all industry and government safety standards. Army Chief of Staff Mark Miley told Army Times in an interview on September 12th that the Army is investing in an excellent weapon and has reviewed reports from the drop test conducted by the military. Boom, yeah. Gunner.
They're not going to release that shit, man. That's pure suicide there.
Quote, we ran it through test. We ran it through drop test. We went to the company and said, change this, 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 and this. And they said, roger that. We'll change it, Miley said.
See, and that's crap. You know, so it should have been excluded from the test. As soon as it failed, you don't go, hey, fix this. No, because there's, you know, you like, for instance, you take the Glock. And you can't, there is no way, Mac, that the initial P320, without the trigger safety in it, the drop safety built into that thing, passed and beat the Glock. Dude, you can put a fully loaded Glock in a pitching machine at 50 miles an hour and throw it against a brick wall. And it's not going to go off. You know, and it's like, you've got to be kidding me. This is, again, you know, some general officer that's getting ready to get out, just got a job as, you know, vice president of, you know, something at Six Hour. You know, it's just, this shit is just bullshit. Over and over and over again. Now, we've decided this pistol, but there's some issues that they gotta fix. What is that shit?
It is astounding that this is getting brought up by an outside test, and then the Army does the test and then tells Sig Sauer, you've got to change this. It doesn't exactly give one great confidence.
Yeah. So they picked the right gun.
Right. Right. Wow.
This is absolutely enough. Outside.
Hold on, let me. I'll read you an email here. Max, sometimes I think the gunner is so full of shit, and I was just thinking that. He's just hating on the Army. He's hating on what they buy because he doesn't like it, because he's a Glock guy, blah, 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 blah. And then you start reading quotes from that article. And every one of the quotes backs up what the gunner says. I will never doubt him again. I just want to publicly apologize for what I was thinking in my head. You've got to be kidding me. What a joke. It certainly doesn't make one feel good about the procurement process the Army follows. Are we better or worse at procurement? Mike?
Oh, yeah. We're worse. You know, every service is got flaws. The Marine Corps, because you have these inherent bias where you have civilians in these programs or, running, helping these programs, and they have natural bias. You know, it's like there was a guy there that used to work there, and he was in the Marine Corps, retired like in 1979, was a competition shooter, but all he owned was 1911 frames, you know, like your Springfield 1911s. 45s. And so when they went to Beretta, this guy's like, oh my God, you're going to lose, you know, the 45's got so much knockdown power. It's got kill power. It's got, and you're looking at this guy like, shut up, just do the test. You know, but he had that natural built in bias. If he had his way, he used to sit there and say, we need to bring back the M14. The M14 was the greatest weapon ever, you know, built in this world. And then when we passed the every Marine's got to shoot with optics, we were talking one day, and he goes, "That is the worst thing I've ever heard." What? What's that? Now you've destroyed Marine Corps marksmanship. I said, "How so?" By making everybody shoot with optics. And I said, "We can get worse than we already are." I didn't know there was a. I thought we were at the bottom floor. You mean you're telling me there's sub-basements to this? And he just kind of looked at me, and I said, dude, we can't suck any more than we already suck. Okay? You can't have levels of suckness. You're a level 10 suckness. No. You suck or you're good. Right now, we suck. Don't tell me that there's levels of suckness. You know? But when he was like, oh, the M14, we got to bring that back. Iron sights all the way. Shut up. Oh. And this guy was running our chest in the Marine Corps. Yeah, that's our problem. Yep.
So we're worse?
Yeah, in some things. Look at Mac. Look, hello. Look at the ESV. I mean,
we don't know what to do.
You want to read stupidity? You want to know what stupidity looks like? The EFV, and I think the test version is sitting in 29 Palms, right? The one that's like, it sits out front somewhere?
Yeah, it sits out front on the way in.
That's a monument of failure. That's what that needs to be. You put it on a plaque. This is what failure looks like, boys and girls. Everybody take a good, hard look. This is what happens when you fail at something.
Yeah. This is what happens when you overreach, specifically. All right, where does this fit in the overall procurement strategy of the Marine Corps? All right, it's not up there with the big items, okay? And it constantly gets kicked to the side, and so you get nothing. You get something that you've been driving around in for 40 years, and
that when you do ride in it, you have to lay horizontally because you can't sit in because there's no room. So everybody's got to crawl in and lay flat, you know? And, oh, by the way, your gear and your pack, that's on the outside of the vehicle because it definitely doesn't fit inside.
Yeah, yeah. 6 Hours said it released the XM-17 in a news release that the XM-17 does not have drop test performance problems. Quote, the civilian version of this weapon is not the same weapon we're buying, Miley said. Miley is the Army Chief of Staff. The four-star declined to describe specific differences between the military and the civilian version of the handgun, citing proprietary issues for the manufacturer. Quote, but I can tell you with certainty, the guts and the internals of the military version of that weapon are different than what you're going to buy in the gun store or what police are going to be fielded, Miley said. The Army ran even more tests after Sig Sauer came back to the service with the requested modifications. We took the modified version and put it through the test, and it passed with flying colors, Miley said. The handgun will soon be in the hands of soldiers. They're going through the final testing that they're doing right now, and then we're going to field the and then we're going to field them.
But my point is, Matt, if it failed in testing, you don't go back to the people and have them refix it.
He said it didn't fail in testing. He said it's not the same weapon.
No, no, no. They sent it back for some kind of modification. Yeah. Mac, we used to drop competitors if we said that the weapon had to be olive, you know, or olive drab, and they would send us a black one because they didn't paint it. It was excluded from the test.
Yeah, let me just tell you, when you deal with government contracting, those are either go or no go. It's not.
Yeah.
But it's, so it sounds like what happened is exactly what you said, that they found that it does fire, and then they're denying it. I'll tell you what, the best part of this whole thing is the four-star declined to describe specific differences between the military and civilian versions of the handgun, citing proprietary issues of the manufacturer.
Yeah, whatever. The military version's green, where it's going to be Army green, where the other ones are black. So there's your big difference, boys.
There you go. There you go. That, my friend, is funny. Okay, that is straight up hilarious. Okay, next story. Hold on. That was the best one. How about no charges for the battalion commander fired amid sexual assault investigation that he sexually assaulted the unit's sexual response coordinator? Lieutenant Colonel Melvin Sanders was relieved of command, 3rd Battalion, 395th Armor Regiment, 188th Infantry Brigade on June 29th by Major General Todd McCaffrey, head of the 1st Army Division East, according to a relief letter obtained by Army Times. The battalion is based at Fort Stewart, Georgia. We're unable to comment about the specifics. We can't tell you he's been relieved following a CID investigation. The investigation, which was launched March 27th, reports Sanders was accused of multiple instances of abusive sexual contact and cruelty towards subordinates. The alleged incidents took place in late 2015 and early 2017 against a female sergeant first class, according to the investigation. Sanders pinned her against a desk and sexually assaulted her on several occasions. Anyway, all right, so you don't want to talk about that.
No, it's stupid, yeah.
This is just a news item. It was an AP story that hit last week. I mentioned it earlier. But anyway, it's a story about the AAV that we didn't understand the fire and how Marines in the back got burned. The AP story says the vehicle got stuck as it tried to get free. It hit a gas line. And I guess the spark of the metal on metal along with the gas created the fire that would create if it's natural gas, which I assume it was, it would have created a blowtorch coming out of that pipe, and you could see that something like that, if depending on the angle it hit the vehicle at, would certainly cause would do a lot of damage. So that's the latest information, and really the only information we have relative to that, but it explains at least why there was no fire in the back, which we had never, none of us had ever heard of. Okay, what else are you doing today?
Wife's out of town. She's going to Clemson.
Really?
For recruiting. They're doing their recruiting thing for the company.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. So she's excited. She's never been to Clemson.
So what are you going to be doing? It's just you, like, kicking around like a 15-year-old?
Yeah, walking around in my underwear all day.
you can go hang out with Buck?
Yeah, I'm going to go probably see Buck tomorrow. We were talking today.
What about, yeah, so now, wait, your daughter still lives at home, though, right?
Yeah, so I was just joking about running around in my underwear.
Yeah, you gotta put your good underwear on. All right, man. I'm getting some hate mail for you and the Cowboys.
Good. Because you know what I have for those people?
It's from Cowboy fans, though.
But you know what? Here's my comment. Ready? Here's my reply to all of those. I don't give a shit.
They don't want you to like their... They're afraid that you're liking their team, though.
Okay. Insert this quote. I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. I'm not put on this planet to appease and to make your life better. I don't care. I don't care about your feelings. Feelings mean nothing to me.
Listen to this. Oh, Mr. Tough Guy. You're going to take on the planet now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Remember, hey, you can't decide. You can't pick and choose your family, right?
You cannot.
You can't pick and choose where you're born.
You can't do that either.
Right. You can pick and choose your sports team because guess what? This is America. It's not communist China there, bitches.
Bitches?
<You know? laughs> Yeah. So, suck it up, buttercup.
If you don't like me liking your team, too fucking bad. Too bad. So
yeah.
Sad.
Yeah. Get over it. Wah, wah. Wah, wah. I'll post on the website for a number you called. Call 1-800-WAH.
Oh,
call that hotline,
God.
And tell them how you feel, because I don't give a shit.
There you go. On that note, that's why they call him the Gunner. Okay? There you have it. That'll do it. We're going to sign off on that little thing. You could kiss my ass, okay? There you have it.
Yeah.
I'm a Cowboy fan. Here's a text message from a Cowboy fan. Make him stop, okay? He's still on probation as a Cowboy fan. If this shit continues, he's off the bandwagon.
That's from a Cowboy fan?
That's from the Cowboy fan. You're going to be like Pigpen. You're going to have that jinx aura as you walk around. Oh, here he comes. Here comes the jinx.
Okay.
And then pretty soon you're going to be rooting for the Cleveland Browns.
And that's okay. You know why?
Why?
Because I don't give a shit. Remember, I'm a Marine gunner. I'm not a damn therapist. I care about your damn feelings. I'm not your mother. I don't care about your feelings. Those are the people that care about your feelings. I'm not one of them.
Wow. All right, man. Here's another email just to make you feel good before you go. Matt,
okay.
With the Gunner's little discussion of the whole Army pistol thing, he can be a part of my team and our fans anytime.
What team is his?
He doesn't say. I bet you they
He's
suck.
Bronco.
I bet you they suck, though. They're the only people that invite other people to their
Carolina Panthers or Jacksonville Jaguars or
some shit like that. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Buffalo.
Yeah.
Some nobody team. All right, man. Have a good
one. All right, brother.
There you have it. The one and only Gunner. What's up? All right, my thanks, John Ubaldi, for coming on. Bob Nielsen for coming on. Thank you for doing that this morning. And we will do that. I'll move the lens around, but you know, I love having Vietnam guys on. I've learned so much from those guys, it's ridiculous. And from that group I got some of the best advice I've ever got in my life. So they have kind of open They have privileges on the program. And then, as always, Mike Musselman. This program repeats itself momentarily, except the Nielsen segment that got screwed up. I know, I'm sorry. Trust me, it was a good one, too. Anyway. The Vietnam War continues tonight. It's on PBS. Check it out. All you got to do is search on it. You'll find it. Watch it. Good stuff. Keep your fingers crossed that somehow or other that I don't, and again, I don't know what happens in our government to change things. I mean, I guess we hope that more people run that look at citizens and say, I'm not going to be welded to the Republican speaker. I'm going to go there and I'm going to work for you. And I'm going to make deals. And I'm going to make it better. Not the easiest way to run, though. Having said that, have a great day. We'll talk about it again tomorrow. On a Monday. All Marine Radio. Out.